Hello and welcome to this episode of the Magnetic Woman Show for part two of the death and rebirth process. I'm your host, Lauren Joyce, founder of the Magnetic Woman, and I help women reclaim their feminine power through pleasure. So, in the last episode, I talked about how I was suspended in the void for probably 2 years. And how I allowed being in the void to impact my self-perception. I allowed myself to create so many stories and so much meaning around being in the void that, quite frankly, I think that that was one of the biggest things that contributed to one of my lowest years in business last year. Now, I wanted to do this series on the death and rebirth process because this, first of all, the death and rebirth process is a naturally occurring process that we as women are going through all of the time in every single area of our life from now until perpetuity. Okay. And we even see it in nature. Now, I live in the northeast of the United States, so I have four specific different seasons, right? Depending on where you live, you might not experience like four different weathers seasons, but you get a different energy, a different sense in each season. And so while when it comes to Mother Nature, the seasons, the death and rebirth process takes 12 months, right? Death being winter to spring, which we're in now, where seeds are being planted. Summer is when everything is in full bloom. Fall is when we're harvesting, things are starting to fall off of the trees, and that death process is beginning again, right? When we're in the death and rebirth process in other areas of our lives, sometimes we could be moving through death and rebirth in a month, in a week, in a moment. When we can quantum leap through a death and rebirth process, when we decide, when we make a decision, like I am no longer going to allow this thing in my life, and we step into a different identity, right? And things begin to shift very quickly. Sometimes the death and rebirth process can take months or even years. And so for me, I know that I'm not the only one who took a huge step back last year, and mine was forced. I'm going to be fully and completely transparent with you. The void that I was in, the death that I went through in terms of identity, beliefs, patterns, that was forced on me in a lot of ways. I chose a lot of it specifically when I chose to leave the relationship that I was in. And I was doing anything and everything I could to try and hold on to that relationship, to try and heal it, to try and make it work. Because I didn't want to end the relationship. I didn't want to end it for a lot of reasons, but one of them was I didn't want to go through the pain. And the truth of the matter is, we as women have not been given the tools, nor are many women well practiced in the tools to help aid and support you in your death and rebirth process. And this is one of the big reasons why so many of us really resist the death and rebirth process. Now, I don't know that any of us will ever be always like volunteering and throwing ourselves into the next death and rebirth. But I do think that when you have the tools to support yourself through it, you can surrender into it a lot more. And so for this episode, I really want to focus on the death and the tools that I have been using, especially over the last 6 months. So again, and as I look back from a year ago, so April of 2023, This past 12 months has been really marked with so much death in my life. So many things dying, friendships, a 6-year partnership, so many self-identities, so many things in my business. And my birthday is in less than a month from now. I'll be turning 37 on May 1st. And I really see the energy that I'm stepping into is truly this profound rebirth energy. Like, I have really been moving through the death and the releasing, the surrendering, the resting, and there's a little bit of still feeling like I'm in that and in that cave, but I am feeling an energy of rebirth. So that's going to be part three. But right now, when it comes to the death aspect of the death and rebirth, what I found for me, and again, I know I'm not alone, especially in the last year, like so many of us went through so much pause, underworld, dark night of the soul in the last year. For me personally, everything was on the chopping block. Everything. Now, here is the thing that you have to understand. The path of the feminine knows that everything is an opportunity to take us higher. Everything is an invitation to step more into our power, more into our authentic expression, more into who we're meant to be. And I remember last fall, I was doing a ritual. Like, I signed up for somebody else's ritual. Like, somebody else was leading a ritual. I signed up for it. And I was talking to one of my best friends at the time. And I was like, I don't know. I thought I was going to get more out of it. And she was like, Lauren, you are already fully naked. You're like so raw, right? There's nothing left for you to shed. And the last 6 months for me personally have been so intense, so confronting, so healing. I have really leaned into edges that I never would have leaned into otherwise. And this is the beauty and the gold that we receive from the death, from the underworld. I remember when my dad passed away, and that was the first major death and rebirth portal that I went through when I was 25. Marked and kicked off by his death. But I had to let parts of me die as well. And be reborn into a different woman, right? And I remember, and if you've been in my community for a while, you've heard this variations of this story. But I remember sitting across from the grief therapist I was seeing right after he passed away and saying, I only want this experience to make me a better person. And I don't know how that's possible because right now it is just so painful. And over the last, it'll be 12 years this year that he's been gone. Over the last 12 years, there's so many times where I look back and I go, his death set me on this trajectory. And of course, I wish that there could have been any other way for me to become this woman, to heal those parts of myself, to learn about pleasure and feminine energy. I wish with all of my heart that there could have been any other way. And I am so proud of what I've done and created from that loss. And I know the same thing is true for me as I look back on 2023, and specifically in ending the relationship that I was in. I wanted so desperately to hold on to it for so many reasons. I deeply cared about my ex. I saw a future with him. Now, was it a future that would truly allow me to be my fullest expression and in my full power? No. And I knew that. But I wanted to stay in the relationship. And there was a part of me that was willing to forego my full expression, the fullness of my desires, in the hopes that it would allow me to keep the relationship, right? And I operated from that space for a while. But then it became far too painful for me. The pain of not being my full self, of knowing that if I stayed in the relationship, I would not be able to be who I am and who I'm meant to be. The pain of that far outweighed the fear I had of having to end the relationship, move out, confront all my feelings, grieve. Figure out what my life looks like outside of this. And again, it, of course, I wish that there was some other way I could have learned the lessons that I've learned over the last 6 months. I could have like stepped into the parts of myself that I've stepped into over the last 6 months, then ending the relationship. And when I look back, I am so proud of myself. I am so proud of me choosing myself, because that's what that decision was. It was me fully choosing me, fully having my own back, saying, I love you, but I love me more. And that created a ripple effect in every area of my life and my business. I had to look at where was I grasping on to ideas of success, or where was I grasping on to people pleasing and being liked, and being like, well, I'm willing to sacrifice my full expression or the fullness of my desires or what I need or want because I want to be liked or I want to help, or, it's all that codependency. And so once that domino fell, in leaving my relationship, next up was the business. And I had to look at in how I operate, in the clients I take on, and how even in how I draw up my contracts. I was confronted a lot over the fall with, and even at the beginning of this year, with people breaking contracts with me, with people acting really immaturely. But ultimately, it came back to the fact that I had had weak boundaries. I had tried to be more compassionate, more understanding with people than standing for myself and honoring myself, my boundaries, and my business, right? So it was like I had to look at where could I step into, I love you, but I love me more in my business, in how I run my programs, in how I operate my day. This came through sweeping in friendships. And friendships have always been an area that I have really struggled with, right? And I know that a lot of it comes down to sisterhood wounding and witch wounding, but it also deeply comes down to my wounding as a manifester in human design, right? So as a manifester, I have this very potent energy, and I am here to catalyze and initiate. And my energy is instantly magnetic, but is also instantly repelling to some. And so, growing up a little girl in the patriarchy, attending Catholic school with this huge energy that instantly catalyzes and initiates people, I really learned to be likable. To shrink down, to turn down the volume on my shine, to turn down the volume on my full expression so that others would feel more comfortable around me. Right? And so I had to look at where was I still doing that in friendships? Where was I trying to maintain connections with people that I knew weren't fully aligned with the vision that I had in my life. But one, I wanted connection, I wanted love, I wanted friendship. And two, I didn't want to hurt them. And again, the portal that I was in, the goddess was just like, no, it's all got to go. It's all got to go. And so the last 6 months have been a massive lesson in surrender, a massive invitation to really find peace in the not just the void, but the like blank slate, right? All of these things that I was looking to for worth or for enoughness, for a sense of being like who I am, they're stripped away. So if they're stripped away, who am I? If these things that I thought I should want or I thought I should be this way, when they're stripped away, what is left? Who am I? And this is where, for me, there were three top things. So the first one was sisterhood. Now I said I let go of a lot of friendships, and I did, but the friendships that remained or were created are so strong and so pure. And when I say pure, I mean like both me and the other person are emotionally regulated, grounded, and there is no sense of like jealousy or competition or anything. So I leaned in so heavily to sisterhood because I can't tell you how many times I, of course, went through all of the normal breakup things, the missing him, the worried that I made a mistake, the like, oh God, I'll never be happy again. And the thing is, I knew that consciously none of those stories were true, right? I mean, I did miss him, and there was a lot of sadness and a lot of grief, but I knew ultimately it was the best choice for me, right? And so I had women in my life who could hold that duality as well, right? I can hold the duality of knowing this was the best decision for me and it being painful, it being sad, it bringing up, wounds of abandonment and not enoughness and all the things. But also, I had women who could hold that duality as well. So when I went to my best friends and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what's coming up for me. I know it's not true, but this is how I'm feeling. They could meet me and be like, I hear you. What do you need? I got you. Yeah, it's not true. And when you're ready to reframe this story, I'll help you reframe it. But right now, I'm meeting you in this emotion, right? And then for me, what was really important, two practices that were so helpful that I did almost daily was breath work, followed up with a pleasure practice, whether it was like jade egg or self-pleasuring or some kind of like sexual energy practice. And to me, I mean, breath work is one of my all-time favorite tools. And as things were being shed from my life and I had so much space, one, I realized how I've never in 36 years truly given myself permission or space to just like rest and be. And so I had to do that and lean into all of the stories and beliefs around being lazy and like, being this would mean I'm a failure and like, well, things aren't going how I want them to in my business, so I couldn't possibly rest, right? I had to lean into that edge. And I also was like, the only way through the underworld, the only way out of the underworld is through it. Period. I gotta feel this shit. I gotta heal this. I have to move through this. And so the last 6 months, it's so interesting when people come, when I catch up with people, they're like, how have you been? And I'm like, great. They're like, what's been going on? And I'm like, honestly, not much. I spend the majority of the week, the majority of the time in my room working,
watching TV, snuggling with my dog. Throughout the winter, I was cooking a lot. I still am cooking a lot, but I was doing like so many slow cooked meals, fresh bread, really looking to nourish my body in that way. When I came back from Europe in the fall, I was like wanting to work out and I just felt like my nervous system was fried. So I just gave myself permission to just walk and not worry about working out anymore than that, or like just moving my body in ways that felt really good. So a lot of like light intensity stuff because I was working on healing my nervous system, which I mean, I still am to a degree. So a lot of time and space to rest. And again, breath work and pleasure practices, breath work and pleasure practices, breath work and pleasure practices. Moving through the underworld requires different flavors of the tools that I teach when we're talking about like owning your sexiness and stepping into your power and all of that good stuff. And when I say they re require a different flavor, it's because it requires you to meet yourself with so much acceptance. There were times where in the breath work, like I was half falling asleep and half crying. And it was just like, that's okay. I don't need to have like a massive realization or a huge healing or a huge release every single time. Sometimes the pleasure practices, like there were months where I felt really, I would do self-pleasuring or J-Dig or sexual-based practices so that I could feel turn on. And, there was a part of me that was like, oh my God, am I ever going to feel turn on again just for feeling turn on? I do right now. Like now I'm like, oh, I'm going to like do J-Dig or self-pleasure to harness the turn on that I'm experiencing in my day. But I was really numb and really frozen for a while. But this is the thing about the path of the feminine, and this is the thing about the path of the embodied feminine leader. When you have the tools and when you understand the seasons and cycles of the feminine, you don't make it mean anything. I didn't make the fact that I wasn't feeling turned on or like a desire for sex or intimacy. I didn't make that mean anything. It was just like, of course, I'm feeling frozen and shut down. I went through a really intense breakup, and the relationship was not good at the end. And I went through a, but I was over functioning a lot in the relationships. I was holding a lot. So, of course, I was frozen and shut down. Of course, that makes so much sense. And yeah, were there times or days where I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be my life forever? Yeah. And then that's when I leaned into sisterhood. We'll never willingly choose the underworld. We will never willingly choose the death, right? We want to skip over the death and go right to the rebirth, of course. And when we have the tools and when we're grounded in the sacred feminine, it becomes so much easier to have our own backs through the underworld, to reach for pleasure. 'Cause look, the underworld's going to take however long the underworld's going to take. But what makes it more enjoyable, what makes it feel like it's going by faster is pleasure. Of course, there were days and times over the last 6 months where I was like, this is never going to end. Like, this is my life. This is it. The underworld forever. Queen of the underworld right here. And I don't know that it's like over. And, but, I can look over the last 6 months and be so grateful for how I truly let myself rest, how I moved through this, how I really gave myself what my body was needing. And again, I think that's the whole point because inevitably I'm going to go through another massive death and rebirth process. And I'm going to go through a ton of little death and rebirth processes. So, next episode, we're going to talk about the rebirth, which I am doing probably the most fun sale I have ever done and created for my birthday. And it is every week in April, I am launching a new archetype, a new era. And you have two options. There's a set of embodiment practices or a starter pack. And the starter pack includes the practices, other curated content and courses. It includes a sweatshirt. It includes a personalized gift from me. So when this goes live, we will be wrapping up the Seductress era and the new era archetype will be dropping on Monday, the 8th. And so every week, again, there's a new era, a new archetype. You can choose to purchase all of the starter packs for the price of three. So you save 25%. You can go to themagneticwoman.com/birthday to get your hands on any of the things that I've mentioned. And again, no matter where you are, because we're all in this portal, I think. And I wanted to do this as we come to the solar eclipse because I feel this energy so deeply over the last few days. To really give yourself permission to just be where you are. Just be where you are and know that that's enough. All right, my loves, I will see you soon.